This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
We wake up every day saying, how can we make this show better than the day before? Because we're lead pipe wielding professionals.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
That's the name of it.
As promised, the film Buddy Games, it's available in theaters and on demand, digital and DVD right now, marks his directorial and writing debut. He also plays the role of Bob Father in this film, along with Olivia Munn and Dax Shepard. Nick Swardson was phenomenal, and Kevin Dillon, and so much more. Our friend Josh Duhamel back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Josh?
Rich, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on this program. I greatly appreciate it. Now, this film, Josh, before we get into everything else here, let's get right into it. Buddy Games, it is your directorial and writing debut. It's about a group of friends who come back together to play the buddy games, and a lot of these competitions are, they're interesting. Let's put it that way, Josh. They're interesting. I give you the floor on some of these games that you play, the buddy games.
That's a very tame way to put it. Yes, they are interesting. Obviously, we heighten some of the events for cinematic value.
Yes.
We don't actually do a lot of the things that you'll see in this movie, but we do some pretty crazy stuff. My buddies and I have been doing this for, I don't know, 20 years or so. And I've known these guys since I was, like, some of them since kindergarten.
Right.
And we had an idea to write this script a few years ago. And we wrote it and decided to take it in. And we ended up, you know, WWE loved it and let me direct it. And it's you know, my goal here was to do two things. One was to tell a story about friendship and how those friends become more valuable as we all get older. And, you know, there's some real underlying themes here. But, you know, mostly I wanted to do something that really pushed the envelope. I wanted there to be moments in this thing where people are like, oh, my God, I can't believe they just went there. And there's some stuff you just can't unsee in this movie. And we've shown it now a few times in theaters, and people absolutely lose their minds, which is what I was rooting for.
So let me walk through one by one here, and you tell me if you've actually done this or your friends have actually done this with you, and or you just made it up for the film, if that's okay, Josh.
Oh, please do.
Okay, first one is you take a laxative before going into a bar and hit on girls before the laxative kicks in. Is that something you've done?
No, we have not actually done that, but that would be a pretty fun one. We might try that one next year.
Okay, but that is what is done in this film.
Well, the idea is to win the challenge, everybody has to down a little bottle of laxative. You got to get a girl to buy you a drink.
Yep.
You got to get them on the dance floor, and you got to get them to give you a kiss on the lips. And if you do all that before you lose it, you win the competition.
Okay. here's another one.
Highbrow stuff, Rich.
Yo, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Here's another one. Playing chicken with a Komodo dragon with meat strapped to your head. Last one to bail wins. What do you got on that one, Josh?
We actually have not done that one either. That is that was one that we made up for cinematic value. It was the idea there is that you strap a pork chop. It's pretty self-explanatory. You strap a pork chop to your head. Everybody sticks their head up this, you know, inside of this hole. So the only thing showing is your head.
Mm-hmm.
We release a Komodo dragon, the last one who stays above the hole wins.
So what in this film is something that you have done? I've just named a couple of them. I don't want to give up too many. But what have you done in real life in Buddy Games?
Well, I mean, this last year, every year we do everything from ping pong to wiffle ball to golf.
Okay.
And all the basics, but there's always one competition that's just outrageous. This last year, Bob, the guy who I play in the movie,
yes,
made us all strip down into our underwear,
mm-hmm,
gave us a nut cup and a helmet, and you had to stand there with your arms, you know, spread wide both ways, and the other team would shoot a paintball from about 20 yards away. And if you flinched, you lost the point. And if you got hit, you know, depending on what part of the body you got hit, you would get a certain amount of points. So that's the kind of, you know, adolescent behavior that we revert immediately back to as soon as we all get together.
And again, I don't want to give anything away in the film, but in real life, what do you win when you say you get points? Like, what does this...
Bragging rights, man. Bragging rights.
That's it? That's it? It's not even like a plaque or a trophy that you could just point to and say, this is what I got because I didn't flinch when a paintball hit me in the nuts. Like, literally,
well,
you...
No, you don't even really get a trophy. At one point, there was a trophy, but that, I don't even know what happened to that thing. So, yeah, it's just bragging rights. And now that we're actually talking it out loud, I'm starting to think that there's something wrong with me. My friend.
Josh Duhamel here on The Rich Eisen Show. And how many of these, I'm assuming the number is zero, but how many of these is something Nick Swardson said, that's too much, I can't do it?
Zero. That guy is as fearless as they come. I'm not even kidding you. Him and back at all. I mean, James Rodet is amazing. And these guys, you know, it's not just screwball stuff either. It is outrageous, especially the stuff we're talking about. And we didn't even get into the pina colada part of it. I wanted guys who would come in. We only had 18 days to shoot it, so we had to go quick. I wanted guys who were, actors first, but also comedic and could improvise. And I just kind of let them go. You know, we had parameters that we had to keep within the scene to push the story forward. But, you know, I wanted these guys to feel sort of creatively liberated as they went. And that's the way I love to work. And that's kind of the environment that we set. And they came in and just laid it down. And it was so much fun. It was like summer camp.
So did you at least attempt to get Dame Judi Dench in the cast? Streep? Did you ever go on that?
Well,
what do you think?
I did, but apparently she was busy.
just maybe the stunts were just too easy for her. She wanted something more challenging. Could be that, Josh.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, Rich, you'd be a good, I've seen you run that 40.
Yes.
Yeah. You would be a good contestant. You're always welcome, man.
I could do the one where you have to run in protective gear with the arrows being shot. I could try that one. You know,
yeah,
I could shout out.
That would be a good one.
How about this one? Josh Duhamel here on The Rich Eisen Show again. His directorial and writing debut, Buddy Games, is available in theaters on demand, digital DVD right now. The insane obstacle course that includes electric shocks and beer chugging. Did you pick that one up when you showed up on the set of Holy Moly recently? Is that where you got that one from, Josh?
No, I didn't actually. I scrubbed the internet. I found some ridiculous stuff. We got ideas, and then we sort of, you know, molded them to the way we needed them to play out in the movie. But yeah, we just wanted to have this, and that actually does come from something that's a different group of buddies that I met out here in LA, who do this thing called Tres Hombres, and they do this giant obstacle course that includes all kinds of crazy stuff, and that's sort of where that idea came from, but we just kind of made a different version of it for the movie. But this is the thing about this, is that as crazy as it sounds, it is truly something we all look forward to every year. And guys all over the world do stuff like this.
Yeah.
Maybe not this extreme, but, you know, I think it's important to keep that kid alive inside of you, you know, and mine is alive and kicking. Believe me, you know, I love to sort of, first of all, see my boys. I love these guys. And, you know, we just kind of immediately revert back to our 16-year-old selves when we get together.
It's just fun.
And I think that's okay.
It's fun. It's just a
especially
ton of fun.
Right now,
it's a laugh riot, man, the whole thing. Buddy Games.
And I think it's a good time for it, too. You know, I think that there's nothing but a good time here. And I think that, you know, right now is a great time to have this movie
no doubt.
We all just, on the world.
We just want to get lost and just have fun and forget about all, you know, real world stuff. I mean, I had Jared Goff on last week, quarterback of the Rams, and he's in a fantasy league with all his buddies from back in the day. Just like, you know, I mean, I guess it's a version of Buddy Games in a way, Josh, is that he said, even though he's not paying terrible attention to it, but he has a friend who is his general manager. The loser of the league has got to do something totally crazy year in and year out. 2 years ago, it was the loser of the league had to go fly to Nome, Alaska for a day. And last year, it was, what was it? The Barstool Chris has some sort of a fight every year.
They have Rough and Rowdy.
Rough and Rowdy. They had to go fight in the Barstool Rough and Rowdy at the Super Bowl. Like, that's what they had to do. That's what.
What do you mean, go fight? Like a fist fight?
Yes, like
actually, boxing.
Yeah, like actually get in a ring and have to get in an actual fist fight competition with somebody because you lost a fantasy football league. I mean, people do this sort of stuff all the time, and it's fun. It's just fun to see, man.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree, man. I love that. Those are my kind of guys right there.
I bet. So how did you show up on the set of Holy Moly? Honestly, like I was watching that. I watch it with my kids. We love it. The whole family does. And then just seeing you there, I think it was Zac Efron was in the crowd too. It was, how did you wind up there?
So my buddy Tanner was competing in it, and and you know they've got a similar group of buddies, kind of like mine, where they're very tight and they all kind of hang out.
Right.
And he was on the show, and they said, "Dude, you got to come in and watch. You got to come watch. Tanner's on. Holy moly!" So I went out there, and I had no idea they were going to put me on air. As soon as I get there, like they knew that I was coming, I guess. And they
right.
had a mic all set. I was like, wait. I'm just here to support. But, you know, being the pushover that I am, I agreed to do it. Next thing I know, I'm sitting next to Rob Riggle in the booth and Joe Tessitore. I mean,
it was hilarious.
It was amazing.
It was actually a really fun time.
It was. That show, again, like it kind of is the same. You know, without the, you know, Komodo dragon, but it's a similar sensibility where it's just like, let's all get together and do something that's really stupid, but it's fun. And there's a certain camaraderie to it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm all for it. And I don't even apologize for it. It's part of, when you grow up in North Dakota, you got to be imaginative, especially in the winter. And this is, I think, where we got these sick, twisted senses of humor is just, you know, out of sheer boredom and you know, in the cold tundra of North Dakota in the middle of winter.
Before I let you go, you think your Vikings still have a shot this year? What do you think?
I'm not that confident. You know, they have games where they play well. I think Cousins is a passable quarterback, if that's the right term. I just don't think he's the kind of guy that is going to take him over the top. No offense to him or his abilities, because he's a good quarterback, obviously. I just wish we had somebody like a Rodgers or a Mahomes, but, you know, those guys aren't exactly a dime a dozen.
No, but Dalvin Cook is that version at running back, I think. I think you got yourself a superstar.
We definitely have talent, but we also lost a lot of talent last year. I think that hurt us. Well, lost a lot of guys in the D-line.
Right.
O-line's been a little beat up. Picked up some good players, but just doesn't feel like we have enough to really do damage.
Yeah, Justin Jefferson and Cook together, I think, for years to come. There is something there, and you're right.
Oh, yeah.
If Cousins is the right trigger man, then maybe you can make some run here. I mean, 4-6, it's entirely possible.
Yeah, they could make a run, and they do have talent. I love Zimmer. I do like the team, and I don't even dislike Cousins. I just have not been able to buy all the way in. There's a kid out of North Dakota State. Have you been following him at all? That Trey Lance.
Tell me about him. Tell me more about him. I have heard of him and I've heard his name a lot.
He was a true freshman. Wait, no, he was a redshirt freshman last year. Played. He was a player that you won the Walter Payton Award, won the Jerry Rice Award. First guy ever to do that, I think.
Right.
Didn't have. There's like 20 some touchdowns, zero interceptions. Has a really nice arm and can move and he can improvise and. That's a guy that I think they need to watch for is, you know, as much as I'd love to get a guy like Trevor Lawrence, he's going to go to the Jets probably.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that your team?
It is, Josh, and everybody needs to back off from Trevor because he's the Jets. He's the Jets property. You don't go 0-10 and then drop the ball this close to getting him. That's not happening, man. No way.
You know, he does have another year of eligibility. I'm not sure.
Bite your tongue, damn it. I'm selling your movie for you. Come on now.
I would like to see Trevor Lawrence go there. I do like the Jets, and I think that you know, they need a guy like that to sort of...
Come on, seriously. Like, in New York City, don't you think he would be dynamite in New York City? Don't you think?
I do.
Right?
But what happened with the kid out of USC? What's his name?
Darnold. I don't know. The Jets broke him.
Working out?
They broke him in two, brother.
That's the problem, though. You can't... It doesn't matter what the quarterback... You got to have the right... guys around to sort of coach them up too, no matter how good they are.
Right. And I think
so they got to get that right.
That is correct. I think they will. I think, you know, the best of the best will raise their hands and say, I want a shot here. So,
if they get a guy like Trevor Lawrence, I think that'll attract the right kind of people to come and, you know, groom them.
Right. But if not, maybe the young man that you're touting right now could be a quality, if you will, silver medal or bronze medal. I don't know, but, you know.
I want him to go to the Vikings. I want Trey Lance at the Vikes. He's from Minnesota, too.
Well, then that would be somebody that they got to trade to go get, because I don't think you're going to be close enough. I don't know. Maybe he'll drop. I don't know. That wouldn't be a bad one. What a great choice that would be.
That's the problem with the Vikings. They're always good enough where they never get a great draft. They never get, like, that super high draft pick.
Right.
So we're always right there. We're kind of middle, upper pack. And then we haven't ever, that I can remember, grabbed a like a young quarterback that we've been able to develop. We always get, like, somebody who's sort of been kicked around a little.
Well, you know, there's still more football to be played. Maybe you got a run in you here. And I look forward to everybody checking out Buddy Games in theaters, on demand, digital, and DVD right now. Josh, congrats on it's a fun movie, brother. And Olivia Munn's in it as well. A lot of fun moments, and just have a good time watching the directorial and writing debut of Josh Duhamel. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for having me, buddy.
Always. You know that. Have a great holiday. That's
you
Josh.
You
that's
too, man.
Right back at you. Josh Duhamel, at Josh Duhamel on both Twitter and Instagram, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with Large Gallery View, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Yeah. So, obviously, Lindsey Vonn has a lot going on in her life, and I'm sure has tons of opportunities. And I can't wait to watch this show. New series on September 20th on Prime Video called The Pack. November 20th. What did I say? I said a different name. All 10 episodes are going to be available coming up this Friday. It features 12 teams of dogs and their humans on an epic adventure across multiple continents. And she co-hosts the show with Lucy, her dog. Lindsey Vonn here on The Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Lindsey?
Hey, Rich. I'm good. How are you?
This is awesome. This is great. Look at you with dogs. I mean, this is the absolute greatest. How did this one come about for you, Lindsey, this show?
Actually, Amazon contacted me,
yep.
And similar to what you just said, they're like, do you want to host a show with your dog, Lucy, and other dogs? And I'm like, yes, I do. It was pretty much the perfect scenario for me. I was just, you know, excited to be able to have a new challenge after my skiing career, and it was perfect timing. And, you know, obviously Lucy loves to travel. She's been around the world with me. She's been to Korea, to the Olympics, and so just was pretty much the perfect scenario.
What type of dog is Lucy? Where is she?
Lucy's a King Charles Cavalier, also a stray diva.
What do you mean?
Stray diva.
What do you mean by that?
When we walk into an airplane, like the first class seat she sees, like that's her seat.
Okay.
I have to, like, no, Lucy, like we're a little bit farther back. She, on the show, for example, she had like three people taking care of her. She literally had someone like with a fan, someone with her food, someone carrying her.
What?
And I'm like, you guys, like, I can't go back to real life after this. Like, Lucy is not going to accept anything but the highest standard. So you're screwing me here.
So you're not aware, Lindsey, that Lucy had a rider in her contract that this is all this is all mandated contractually. This sort of behavior is a must.
She actually does have a rider, and it says that, like, she needs to have like first class travel. It's hilarious.
Come on.
The whole thing is just
nice.
I wish I was kidding. It's too funny, but again, she was a diva before this show, and now, you know, it's going to be difficult to keep her little paws on the ground after this.
Oh, how many takes did she need multiple takes to do some scenes, Lindsey, or how was she to work with professionally? Your own dog.
Sometimes she was snoring, so, you know, that obviously killed the vibe. But most of the time she likes being the center of attention. So anytime the camera is actually on, she perks up and is like,
right,
you know, ready to go. So she's pretty perfect. I mean, I should be careful because she's going to take my job here pretty soon.
Look out. Lindsey Vonn here on The Rich Eisen Show. What is the show? What is the competition actually about show?
It's a global competition show. So we travel around the world, and in each country, the dogs and their partners have different challenges. And it's pretty incredible because, you know, some of the dogs are, well, actually all of them are just, you know, normal dogs that, you know, a family with kids has. You know, a Duchess is a black lab and just your typical black lab, but, you know, they're put in these situations and they're, you know, they had a 3-month orientation and they can do some pretty incredible things. And I can tell you for 100% certainty that Lucy and I would have failed miserably at all of these challenges. But the dogs on the show are truly incredible. And, you know, at every different country, we had different challenges. And, you know, I thought that, you know, the dogs couldn't get smarter, but I was wrong every time they improved. And it was cool to see.
I love it. Looks like a lot of rescues, too, part of the crew here.
Yes.
You know, I love that.
There were a lot. And we also had a huge charity component. In each country, we donated medical supplies or money or infrastructure to different charitable organizations. So that was a big thing for me. And I think one of the most rewarding parts of the show was that. And then also the winner gives $250,000 to the charity of their choice. So pretty amazing show from the charity perspective.
And it premieres this Friday. All 10 episodes will be available this Friday. The Amazon original series, The Pack, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. So when was the last time you were on skis at all, like recreationally or anything? How often do you do that?
Actually, for the show, we went to Switzerland.
Okay.
That was the last time I was on skis. But, you know, it's still pretty painful. You know, I haven't really found a way to ski without pain yet. I kind of thought after I retired it would be a little bit easier, but it's not. So I'm just kind of looking to ski with my family this year, maybe get a couple days in, and hopefully it's not as bad. But I'm not going to be no comebacks anytime soon, that's for sure.
No, my wife has been trying to get me on skis for years because my kids have been skiing since pretty much birth. My wife is expert at it. She's terrific at it. Like, she can take videos. She can take
videos
of my kids skiing backwards. You know what I'm saying? And here
yeah,
I am
I
at
got
age.
You on that.
No, I'll be honest. Here I am at age 51. I have trouble stopping, Lindsay. You know what I mean? I have trouble, like, you know, I'm doing the pizza right down a mountain. You know,
Why do you need to stop?
Well, it does seem to me when you're down heading towards the bottom of the mountain, you know, at some point there must be some stopping. And
eventually, yes, you're right.
I might have actually told you this when we were in a break during some of the shooting for Shark Week, as we were sitting together a couple of years ago shooting some of that Shark Week stuff. I'm better at the après ski, much, much better at that. You know?
You know, I'm really getting the swing of that as well. I think that's a much better route to take for both of us.
So what is your après ski of choice? What is that?
Hot toddies are great.
Okay.
You know, it's always going to brighten your day, no matter what. You're cold. I'm always cold, so,
right.
You know, and I hate the cold. So that's really the perfect drink of choice for me.
No, I hear you. But what if
then once you get tired, then you go for...
Yeah,
the Red Bull vodka is after that.
All right. See, now this is what we're talking about here. See, I don't ever go outside, so I go straight for the smoothie to start. I'll be very honest, and then, and then I do the red wine. I go right to the red wine because it's 5 o'clock somewhere. That's pretty much what I do.
But you should have Glühwein instead. The red wine will make you tired. So I'd go for the Glühwein at least to keep you warm.
Okay, go for the what? Oh, the hot wine. I've never heard this hot. Oh.
It's a European drink, and I don't know if they have it in the U.S. I guess they should, but it's basically a hot wine, and they put like a little bit of like sugar and spice to it, and everyone in Europe has it all winter long. It's probably the best thing ever made.
Oh my god!
But yeah, you can make it. If you go online, you can definitely find out how to make it. Just heat it up, put some, I think it's like orange slice in it, and some sugar and spice and everything nice.
Look
and
at you stepping up my après ski game. Look at this. I got
to
go on vacation.
Yeah, no, you got to really step it up.
I don't know when the hell I'm going to do that.
Stick with me, Rich.
Okay,
Lindsay. I won't do you wrong.
I will do that. One last thing, too, is when people ask you to take a selfie, Do you remember any of them? If somebody tells you, you know, hey, we took a selfie, or are you just kind about it? I mean, what's your the reason why I ask you is my audio executive sound engineer here has taken a selfie with you. Would you remember if the circumstances were brought up, Lindsay, or no?
I can't say. I don't know. I probably, if I saw his face, I probably remember him. But
okay.
I mean, it's kind of like I remember specific moments, like,
okay,
you know, when I was a kid, like meeting Peekaboo Street, or like if I, you know, I'm doing something major. Otherwise, you know, if it's a crowd of people, I'm doing selfies. Probably not.
All right. So it was the L.A. Coliseum Rams game. When was this, Mike?
First year, the Rams' first game.
Yeah, about three years ago.
Yeah, I do remember. I remember.
Well done. Lindsay's just...
I actually do.
She's a member of society. She knows how to handle these situations.
I only took, like, one picture that day, and it was with him, so
I
do remember.
Mike.
Good job.
That's very special.
Yep,
well,
there you go.
Actually, we do have somebody on this show who knows you very well. TJ Jefferson is our social media grandmaster. Yep. TJ, say hello to your friend.
What up, Hobie?
TJ, what's up, homie? How you been?
Oh, life is good. I can't complain. I was thinking about Lindsay, and one of the things about her,
yes,
like, just to show you the incredible athlete she is.
Yes.
Back in like 2012,
yeah,
the Heat Thunder NBA Finals, she would have people over to her house in Hollywood to watch the games.
Yeah.
So I would stop over, watch the games with her. And the one thing I remember is she had a stationary bike in her living room, and she would start riding the bike. Yeah. At tip-off, and she would ride this bike for 48 minutes of basketball, hour and a half in real time.
Right.
And I would just sit there and watch her. I'm like, that's what it takes to become an Olympian right
there. Is this true,
Lindsay?
Like,
just on the bike straight through the whole games.
I mean, you got to be committed, you know? But I also was committed to watching the basketball games. So, you know, it's a two-for-one deal.
It was great. How you doing?
But yes, I definitely spent many hours on the bike, and TJ can attest to that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You guys go way back. TJ, Lindsay, TJ is, I call him, and this is the ultimate respect, the Forrest Gump of this show. Like, he literally has met everybody. He is floating through life. He's literally met everybody. Every single person.
Oh, yeah.
And you're one of them.
100%. That's very accurate.
People like me, Rich.
I've known him for a long time. He's always around, you know. It's like TJ's always there. He knows everybody. He knows everything. It's kind of unbelievable, to be honest with you.
Really quick, how we actually met. I had a few friends that met her at the Kentucky Derby one year.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy Luke and Lindsay came to this bar, La Poubelle, I was hanging out with.
Sure, in LA.
Introduces me to Lindsay, and then Luke's like, well, I got to go meet my girlfriend, but this is TJ. He's cool. And he leaves us there, and me and her just start chopping it up at La Poubelle, and that's how Lindsay and I became friends, because her friend left her.
Fantastic.
I mean, it's a good thing you were a nice guy, TJ, because that could have been a really bad night.
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
Hey, Lindsay, it's great to talk with you. And congrats on this. I can't wait to see it coming out on Friday. You
Thank
and
you.
Some dogs and the globe and raising money for charity and seeing a fun competition involving dogs. Awesome. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, thanks, Rich. Appreciate it. Good to talk to you, TJ.
You too, Lindsay.
Okay, that's Lindsay Vaughn at Lindsay Vaughn on Twitter and Instagram right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Now, there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. To our terrestrial radio listeners, could not be more thrilled to have my next guest join us right here. And couldn't be more. We could all use some good news in 2020. And here's some good news. The 15th studio album of this man's stellar, legendary career is being released. And it is called 2020. He is none other than the great Jon Bon Jovi. How are you, sir?
Hi, guys. I'm very well, thank you. Happy to call in.
Happy to have you.
What did they say? First time caller, long time listener.
There you go. There you have it. John from, so what would I say? You're John from Sayreville? What would I say?
Sayreville. The other side of the Outer Bridge. Yep. Over the Driscoll Bridge. Then, you know, you call the Outer Bridge to the Driscoll, the big bridge on the other side.
Sure. Yep.
Right? right there on the parkway.
Yep.
Is where I used to play football. Literally, they'd say, go play in traffic. That's where we would play.
Is that right? So what did you, what position were you when you were doing this?
Oh, Charlie? In Pop Warner, that's, you know, that junior high stuff. No, I'm talking like when we go out and throw the ball around with your friends.
Okay.
So there was a grass field.
Yep.
And I'm talking about, you know, the early to mid 70s. You'd play football on the parkway. and my parents, they had a death wish for me. They're like, go play in traffic.
Well, now, when you say the parkway, you're talking about like an act, the actual
Garden State Park.
Yes, me.
Oh my God, John! Come on.
Because you say you know the Outer Bridge. You cross the Outer Bridge, yeah. And then there's the Driscoll.
Yep.
And you're going south. It's right there, the foot of that bridge. There wasn't an exit at the time. What is now an exit,
yep,
used to be a grass field. Right across the street from that exit was literally my street, Robin Hood Drive in Sayreville, New Jersey.
Oh,
and we used to ride our bikes, and that's where we would play football.
Now, if we're going down memory lane, me being from Staten Island, I would go across the Outer Bridge on occasion and go to the monster multi-cinema Metroplex that was there.
Exactly.
In Sayreville.
That was the foot of the bridge.
That's exactly right. That's where we would go because, you know, if the times in Staten Island weren't good, we would just go across and we'd go to New Jersey to see a movie. So when you were playing on the Garden State Parkway, words I never thought I would set up a question for John Bon Jovi in my life, but... who did you imagine you were being? Who were you emulating in those football games?
Shirley Giants, Fran Tarkington, Fred Dreyer.
Fred Dreyer.
You know, I mean, like the early 70s Giants.
That was so you weren't, I guess it's northern enough for you not to be Philly.
Correct.
Yet.
Our television feed like yours was, because people asked me that as the years went, why did you own an arena team in Philly and blah blah blah. Yes, we were a New York based New Jersey. Yes.
So are you still? I guess what's your team now, John? If you have to claim
one,
it's
been the Patriots for some 25 years.
That's right.
Because my relationships to Bill and to Mr. Kraft and, you know, Tom and everybody up there. So I've been friends with them for since Parcells was head coach. So wherever they went, I went, and then, you know, as I got friendlier with Mr. Kraft and we became tight, I was always a Patriots guy since Bledsoe.
So, you know, it's interesting, John. I got to spend a couple days with Bill Belichick when he was the analyst on the NFL 100 all-time team program at NFL Films.
Yes.
And I got to see what everybody who's gotten to know Belichick in person of who he is and sense of humor and everything that you don't see when he's moving on to Cincinnati and stuff like that at the podium.
Yeah.
What's your take on Bill? And you got a good story about music or anything?
Yeah, I got a lot of good stories. You know, because like I said, he and I do you remember a punter on the Giants by the name of Sean Landetta?
Of course.
Okay, Sean's a good old friend of mine, and he'll always be a dear old friend of mine because I met him one night in the China Club in New York City. This is like 89. And he had his Super Bowl ring on, and he knew I was a big Giants guy. And he let me try the ring on, and then he says, you know, if you really want, maybe I could ask Parcells if you could come to practice. And if you remember back in those days, practices were never open to the public.
Sure.
And George Young was the GM.
Oh, yeah.
Parcells, you know, Mr. Mara, Mr. Wellington Mara.
The Duke.
The Duke was alive, and they would be at practice. So one day, Parcells allowed me to come to practice. And the first thing he did was yell at me. And I said, oh, I know you. You're my Pop Warner coach. I wasn't even intimidated by that. But as our relationships built, you know, then, and I got more access, if you will, I became sort of the mascot. And so that young guy, Belichick, Charlie White, we became pals, like really pals. You know, Parcells was still dad, and he was the boss, and he was incredibly kind to me to let me in the locker room, on the bench, you know, traveling to the team to away games. But my friendships built with Belichick and White. And wherever they all went, I would go and visit and hang out and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And then, you know, come 96, at that Super Bowl against Green Bay, I met Mr. Kraft for the first time. And then, of course, I'd go to practice every year. And I opened Gillette Stadium, much like I opened MetLife Stadium. So my NFL connections were going and going and going. So then Belichick would come on the road with us. But we never told people those stories. You know, he's a closet drummer. You know, so, like, there's all kinds of stories about Bill that the world doesn't know because he's so focused on work when he's working.
Sure.
But when he's not working, you know, he's a wonderful, warm, sweet guy, believe it or not. And, of course, he's a genius. But all that aside, you know, the personality of the dad that I know, the guy that likes a rock and roll band that I know, you know, that I've had more than one drink with in my life, I know. You know, so that's the different guy I know. And I'm allowed that access because I never take advantage of it.
It's kind of like Fight Club. And as a matter of fact, I'm a little concerned even bringing it up right now. But there's a couple of threads I do want to pull a little bit here. So you said on the road. So he was a Jon Bon Jovi roadie for a little bit?
I wouldn't say he's a roadie flying on the plane with me, but
roadie with benefits. Roadie with benefits.
No. Yeah, you know, no. Bill, you know, if Bill's coming out. Oh yeah, he's been out on the road with us. You know, in that little brief window before camp would start, if he got those couple weeks off, he came over to Europe one year. He's been to shows in the States. Oh, absolutely. For 100 years now. Yeah.
And then when you say closet drummer, like,
he likes music and he's banging on a drum kit, you know? Yes, yes.
So what are his chops?
Many years ago.
What are his chops? I mean, when you, can
you
he?
You know, he probably plays drums as well as I play football, but doesn't mean you don't, you know, love it.
It's
not
interesting.
Not everybody gets to make a living, you know, but it doesn't mean you can't bang on it.
Exactly. It's odd enough. We're looking it up. He once banged the drums in the middle of the Garden State Parkway. It's very strange. You have the same roots, John. It's kind of crazy. Jon Bon Jovi here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about your album, 2020. What a year, man. And we all need stuff like this from you. I'm wondering if you needed to make it, John.
You know, it's funny. When in 2019, it was March of 19, we went to Nashville to make the album. What I thought was the album was really just the first batch of songs, because even though I had the album title in mind, it was a dual meaning. Clear vision, because I sort of had been through a tumultuous time, but really felt I had clear vision again. Compounded by the fact that I laughed and said, election year, sure, we'll sell a lot of T-shirts. But as events unfolded, I started to write more and more topical songs and address a lot of what was going on. And I said, okay, if I can just bear witness to history, don't take sides, just report the facts. And I really set out to do that, and I think we accomplished it. Once COVID came and I had to delay the release of the record, outright canceled the tour, I had an opportunity to write a couple more songs, one of which is the current single, which happens to even be number 10 on the charts, about COVID, for Lord's sake. And it's called If You Can't Do What You Do What You Can't. And that was one. And then in light of what happened with the death of George Floyd, I was really taken by it, and I wrote a song called American Reckoning. That's when I said, okay, I'm witness to history. This album title's a lot deeper than I thought. And we release it, you know, this week.
And then, you know, obviously 2020 has been just a rough year for so many people, John.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, and it just seems there's just been one negative development after another. It just keeps hitting you. And then this past week, the passing of Eddie Van Halen. I know you've spoken of it and spoken about it. I'd love to give you the floor about Eddie to my audience and your recollections of the passing of Eddie Van Halen from a couple of days ago.
You know, to be in the company of true greatness, a legend and a genius, because he, like the true creators of the electric guitar, whether it was Les Paul himself or Jimmy Page or Eric Clapton, Eddie Van Halen's name is mentioned in the same way. And when I came up in the late 70s, and, you know, he was, seven years older than I am, they got signed in, like, 78. Every teenage kid who ever looked at an electric guitar dreamed of, you know, playing it like Eddie Van Halen. Nobody could. There was only truly one original. And that was the legacy of Eddie Van Halen. He he made his mark, and he'll always be remembered for it.
John Bon Jovi, a couple more minutes left with the rock and roll and musician and legendary John Bon Jovi here on the Rich Eisen Show. Tell me about your foundation. What's going on with the JBJ Soul Foundation? Let's do some good here in 2020.
Oh, my goodness. Lots. You know, we have been in the foundation business for some 15 years now. Once upon a time, I found it under the guise of sports ownership, because once upon a time, I used to own an arena football team, and I thought the only way that we're going to ingratiate ourselves in Philadelphia was to be at least as or more philanthropic than the Big Four. And so when the foundation found focus, it was in the food insecurity and housing, the homeless. And since then, we've built nearly 1,000 units of affordable housing coast to coast, have 3 community restaurants where I was working when I came up with the title for Do What You Can, because I was washing dishes, which is typically a volunteer position for people who are in need. They come and they work in the restaurants, and they're empowered when they come and they volunteer. And then in light of what was happening in 2020, with the dire need for food out on Eastern Long Island, we opened a food bank and provided the food to 7 pantries for the last 4 months. So the spike in the need for food has been off the charts. And our simple adage is, we don't need a scientist to find the cure. It was going to take money and sweat equity. And so we had a little of both, and we opened these restaurants and the food bank and built these houses, and the continuation of the foundation happens every day.
JBJSF.org. So that's for the JBJ Soul Foundation. JBJSF.org to find out more and participate in it. John, I really appreciate you calling in. It's just a blast. Always is. My wife, who's such a huge fan of yours, just wanted me to send you her best. My nephew Jack goes to Syracuse. He texts me. He's like, ask him how his son likes Syracuse.
He loves it.
So it's great. And I appreciate the time always here on the program. Thank you.
It's so great to call in. I look forward to it.
You got
it. All right, I appreciate it, brother. Have a great day.
You take care, John. Bye, take care. You got it. That's John Bon Jovi, at John Bon Jovi, Twitter and Instagram.
Boom.
Right here on the show.
That was awesome.
Did you ever play in the middle of Garden State Parkway?
No, but there was a movie theater right near where he's talking about, a big, gigantic out driving.
Let me tell you something. You know, I've used so many different things. I've used so many different things in this life as like one big Mad Lib, right? You know Mad Lib? You remember Mad Libs?
Mad Libs.
Okay.
We had those, Rich. I don't know.
You know what it is, a Mad Lib?
Yeah.
Chris?
Yeah,
it's a story, and then you like proper noun, adjective, okay. All that stuff. And I do that with my kids a lot. And on occasion, we have to stop because, you know, the proper nouns start becoming body parts that are inappropriate.
makes sense.
But if this was a Mad Lib, if that interview was a Mad Lib, and I could have filled in proper nouns and places and things, a story that he begins with... The year 1989, proper name of Sean Landetta, and place China Club. I would have filled it in right on the spot.
Pretty good.
Now, isn't Landetta a Jersey? Isn't he a Jersey guy too? Wasn't Landetta a Jersey guy?
I think you're right.
I think we always were proud of him kicking, because it was China Dave Club. Jennings was the kicker for so many years, and then he finally gave way and went to the Jets. May he rest in peace. And then Landetta came in, and when you took over punting for Sean for Dave Jennings, those were big cleats to fill.
Landetta's a Baltimore guy.
Okay. I just remember Landetta had some.
But played for the Giants,
dude. I'm telling you,
phenomenal.
I know people make fun of punters and punting and all of that stuff, but when Dave Jennings gave way and somebody else came in for the Parcells Giants, it was like, who the hell is this guy? I think he is punting. I'm serious.
There were many afternoon Pat Summerall games that were.
And you know who the special teams guy for the Giants?
In the
Belichick.
Yeah.
Sean Landetta.
Mayock tells the story.
Landetta had the single bar.
Yes,
he did. Mayock tells the story that when he joined the Giants, he joined as a special teamer, and his coach was Belichick. That's why Bill today is essentially in charge of special teams for. Well, he's in charge of everything for his team. But, I mean, the king of, let's get the guy lefty punting because the ball spins a different way. So all of a sudden, everybody who's back to receive thinks the ball's going a certain way. And then all of a sudden, That guy.
The goat.
He's a drummer. Do you know that about him?
I did not know that. Would not have expected that.
I mean,
did not expect to hear that.
Belichick's drumming.
Belichick, I mean, the drummer. Like stepbrothers, he just has a drum. Don't touch my drum kit!
You know, I think we're burying the lead a little on Sean Landetta, because from what I recall about Sean Landetta back in the day was he was a punter, but wasn't he also like a ladies' man? Like,
oh, yeah.
Sean Landetta dated some like women who you should be out of a punter's league.
Well,
no offense to Pat McAfee.
Again, the story goes the punter of the Giants was hanging with John Bon Jovi in the China Club in 1989.
So it makes sense.
Tells you all you need to know.
Makes it seem like Sean, let's just put it this way, there was some hang time.
Yes.
For Sean. That few others enjoyed back in 1989. Thank you very much.
Thank you, TJ.
Thank you very much. You're giving me the sound horn?
The roster horn.
But, hold on a second. Things are going to get a little awkward when we come back here. Things are going to get a little awkward here when we come back. There is some personal Rich Eisen show business that needs to be addressed on the air.
Man. Oh, what happened?
Interesting.
It's not quite Festivus.
No, I was about to go grab the pole.
There's no feats of strength. But there's a slight airing of a grievance.
Okay.
That could be
not. But that's not to use a possible awkward moment amongst all of us as a tease, but I just did.
We're all looking at each other like,
everything's content, baby. You guys have no idea what I'm talking about, too.
No.
Okay, very good. That's coming up.
Wonder if you have my internet history.
Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.